following conscious. You may know a lot, but don't ever think that you got this. Wise words, pay attention to these wise words. And people follow people, but seldom following dreams. They tend to follow dreams, but never know what they mean. These are wise words, pay attention to these wise words.
We're here on the Wise Words Podcast, downtown Bowling Green, Fountain Square Emporium. If you hadn't checked it out, you should. But while I got your attention, go ahead and subscribe, like, and share. But we got Franklin Embry here with
us
today.
What's up?
He came all the way from Owensboro to sit down and share some wise words with y'all. And, of course, we got Whitey Pines here with us as well. So, Franklin, man, just tell us, give us a little bit brief background on who you are.
Beef background. So, speaking of beef, I was raised on a cattle farm.
Okay.
Somewhere along the lines, I got mixed up in that old rap music.
I think it happens a lot around here.
Got mixed up in that old rap music and, decided I wanted to be a DJ, and then I wanted to be a producer and an engineer, and then somewhere along the lines, none of that was working for me, so I decided to be a rapper.
Yeah, I knew you kind of had your toes in each part of the industry.
Yeah, the thing was coming up, like, I always wanted to be the person behind the person.
Mm,
you know what I'm saying? I always wanted to be the person to lift, you know, y'all remember Deidre?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so that was, you know, the first artist I ever worked with. We actually performed My Mind's Playing Tricks on Me in the 8th grade talent show.
Ooh.
So, yeah, we've been friends forever. So when I got started, he wanted to be a rapper. So my whole thing was try and help him, you know, and push him up.
See, that's kind of where I came in with him. So
we're talking about you're talking about veteran stuff too. Like, so when what numbers are we looking at?
We're talking like 99 was the first time me and him like worked on a project together.
Wow.
Yeah.
So we thought there was a lot of people trying to get in the game back then.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
But yeah. Now it's insane.
Yeah.
But so during that time, you know, I just played the background, made beats and DJ'd and hyped and whatever needed to be done, I was doing and just trying to get him, It's this thing. It's I don't think enough people realize this. Like, especially in the music industry, if you got somebody that has the potential to go, the more people, the better the team is around them that push them up, the better chance they have to go.
That's
right.
It's a foundation. You know,
right?
Support team.
Right. Absolutely. And so and that's what I was trying to be for D was and just push push him. And then, you know, he got married and started having babies, and he's like, yeah, this rap stuff ain't for me anymore.
But that dad rap, he hit a wave with that. I seen some of his TikTok videos or whatnot.
Me and David Ray actually put
Shout
him
out
on
David
today.
Ray.
Huh.
We were, me and Diedrich did a song couple years back or whatnot, and we went to David Ray's to record it because Diedrich was living in Nashville.
Yeah.
So we went to D Ray's to record it, and D Ray was like, you know, I've always thought if somebody did that dad rap, he would, you know, it would take off.
Yeah.
And Diedrich, and he's like, and D Ray was like, I don't think I could pull it off, but you could definitely pull it off. So Diedrich one day just on TikTok just said, I did it. And
he's got the suit on and everything.
Yeah.
I like the one where he's talking to his kids.
Yeah,
like,
through the door.
Yeah, was he getting ready for school or something?
No. Rapping. He's talking about his hard socks.
I don't know. I'm going to have to go back and watch it, though. We might have to clip it.
No, but that thing went for a few million.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I remember when he did it, I was like, he sent it to me. He's like, I did it.
This is it. So when did you kind of get out from behind the scenes to start doing your own thing?
Well, there was a transitional period, right? So when Diedrich, about 2008, that's when Diedrich was like, I'm not going to do this anymore. And so I'm here I am, scrounging, like, all right, I need an artist or I need somebody. And I just kept, trying different people. Nobody had the hunger that I had. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like,
and you're already invested.
Right. I'm thousands upon thousands.
Yeah.
Thousands of dollars invested. Like,
and time.
Like, yeah, I had like a Pro Tools HD system, like back in like the early 2000s and stuff. Like, I went, you know, I don't halfway do anything.
Right.
Like, it's all or nothing.
But, and you're in a precarious situation because it's not like you're sitting in the middle of Atlanta.
Right.
With all this. You're in Owensboro.
Right.
Looking for somebody.
Yeah. And, you know, and it's just, you know, I found that nobody had the drive, or, you know, they had the talent, but they didn't have the drive.
If you want something done right, you got to do it yourself sometimes.
And that's what it came down to. It was like, it came down to, you know, after just getting frustrated, and somebody played Coke Ford's Dirt Road Anthem for me.
Oh, okay.
See, because back then, you know, if you remember, like, the country boys weren't supposed to rap. That's why I was always in the background. I didn't, you know, I ain't no thug. I didn't, you know. None of that. I grew up on a cattle farm.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, so.
But in our generation, we grew up on hip hop music.
Right.
So,
right.
Like, we had to take it somewhere and kind of intertwine.
But if you remember the late 2000s or whatnot, after, you know, Bubba came and then Bubba fell.
Mm-hmm.
Shouts out to Bubba, no diss, but, you know, he hit his peak and then he kind of fell off. And then, you know, everybody was hating on, you know, or Nappy, same thing happened to Nappy.
Yeah,
so, yeah. And it's almost like they, if you was a country rapper, you could make it so far, and then after that, there was like a glass ceiling.
Right.
And they kind of didn't want to take it serious.
And then, like I said, somebody played Colt Ford for me, and I was like, okay, so this is hot right now?
Mm.
I was like, I could totally do this.
That's on your playing ground.
Yeah, this is my life. You know what I'm saying? Like I love hip hop. You know, but, you know, when you're around enough rappers, you know, if you're around basketball, you won't play.
Right. Yeah.
You know, if you're around a bunch of rappers, you know, eventually you're gonna want to rap.
Right.
So when I saw Coat, I was like, all right, so let's give this country rap a shot.
Had you never took yourself serious as far as the artist went? You didn't
right.
have like a catalog of songs that
no.
you just hadn't done?
No, I didn't. I mean, I had rapped before, like rapped on songs, featured on songs, or, you know, I was on Diedrich's, I rapped on Diedrich's Blue Collar Project. I rapped on that. I was doing like some DJ Khaled type mixtapes, like compilations where I was making all the beats and having rappers
and
rap.
You was going by Blizz.
Blizz. Beats by the Blizz, yeah.
Beats by Blizz.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I was going by Beats by the Blizz, and I was doing these compilation projects called Industry Takeover.
Mm-hmm.
And
I remember those, actually.
Yeah. So,
you made some waves.
No, yeah.
Definitely,
oh, yeah.
Definitely.
We made some waves, and people knew who we were. Like I said, man, we were. I mean, I remember performing in Antioch, opening up for Jelly back 2006.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, mm-hmm. Shout out to Jelly and all he's done. But yeah, I remember going way back then. So when the thing with Colton, I was like, you know what? Let's give it a shot. I'll make an album. If it works, it works. We keep going. If it don't, you know,
nothing to lose.
We figure something else out. We figure out what, you know. We just
you're
go.
Doing all of it in house, really, right? Right. So
I didn't spend a dime on it, you know, except for CDs and
little maintenance.
So I didn't really spend any money on it. I wasn't out anything but time. So,
how did the first project go, man?
I mean, it was slow taking off,
mm-hmm.
But then after I dropped Bourbon Blues, it was, you know, we started making some noise with it.
And so it went back. Did the numbers pick up from the original project as you released more projects?
Yeah, I mean, Bourbon Blues is still one of my top streaming songs right now, and we released it in 2014.
So do you have, like, for publishing and all that, how'd you go about all that?
I've got a publishing company, Franklin Embry Music, through BMI.
And you started that before this, or?
No, it was all a learning process. I'd had my publishing, but I didn't have a publishing company.
Right.
So when my first project, I actually paid CD Baby.
Mm-hmm.
To just handle all my publishing, and you know, it was like a $50 fee, and they handle all your publishing,
And we're talking about two different eras here, yeah. Really. Like, you know, back then, social media wasn't you first started wasn't nowhere near what it is now.
Right? No, it was Facebook was the place, YouTube. You know, if you could get popping on YouTube, getting that algorithm, that was. Until they changed up the algorithm in like 2017, YouTube was you know, you put new country rap and boy, you'd have all you had to do was put new country rap in the title, thousands upon thousands of views.
Huh.
But now it's so many of them.
Now it's, you know.
Yeah.
And you know, it is what it is.
So who was talking about the glass ceiling before that everybody encountered? Who would you say kind of shattered that glass ceiling, per se?
I mean,
I know for you it's kind of Colt Ford.
Colt Ford is what caught my ear.
Mm-hmm.
But Church is the one that broke the glass ceiling.
That's who I'm thinking of.
Yeah, Church in 15.
Yellow Wolf? Like, what was?
Yeah, Yellow Wolf always hated country rap, though. He always didn't like being called a country rapper.
Right.
You know, Yellow Wolf's from that era where, you know, he's so, I'm an MC, I'm hip hop. You know what I'm saying?
Well, there's a lot of people that didn't want to be categorized into it, but
you know, I don't make this hip hop. You know, it's the hip hop thing or whatnot.
But then Upchurch just kind of embraced it.
Upchurch. Like, I remember when Church was just famous on Vine, making comedy videos and doing. You're from Logan County area, ain't you? So Dogwood Lake or whatever. I remember we did something at Dogwood Lake, and this is before Church even had songs out, I think. And he was just there doing meet and greets.
Mm-hmm.
So
you're right. He did used to come out there a lot.
Didn't he come to the Climb too?
Yeah, he did. He kind of shut that shit down.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because they was out there, you know, riding four wheelers and. Mudding and shit, and I don't know. You know how that place was.
I was out there one time too.
Yeah, it was. What's funny about the Climbs, it was right across from the kind of, I guess I would say, like the golf course and the country club people. They all live here.
So
we got to sit down a couple times too. So it's fun times.
So you kind of go from that era to, and you're still putting out music.
Yeah.
To this day. Yeah. What else?
I got a new song coming out Friday, actually. Retro. So
you got the video. Yeah. So a video comes out Friday?
We haven't shot the video, just the song. Video probably come out the week after. We gotta shoot it this week.
Okay.
So like we still do everything in house, you know. I did venture out and spend money on videos and stuff like that, and it just didn't. For me, it didn't make much business sense.
You feel like you can do it better in-house?
Well, not just that. I just don't feel like my audience really cares if it's, you know. I think, and it's not even my audience. I think the new age doesn't care if it's a Hype Williams video or if it's just a dude in front of a microphone rapping his song.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I honestly believe, like, the music video is kind of dead. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
At least spending thousands upon thousands of dollars.
Right.
When you're only making 0.25 cents a stream.
People consume content so quickly anymore that it's, you know, it doesn't really make sense to put. It's more about how much you can do and the consistency of it as far as, you know, putting it all in this one song and this one video.
Right. So, you know, exactly. So it's better to have 20 pieces of content for a song ready to go on your TikToks and your YouTube shorts. And especially like with YouTube shorts, because like, you know, you just do a basic performance video, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then you post to YouTube shorts, just a little clip, a little 15-second clip, and then it can tie back to the original video.
Yeah.
So you're sending, you know, they see your short, and then they can go watch the long format
video. So it's free game right there for anybody looking for content creation. Yeah. That's it right there. That's
so
gold.
You're aside from, so let's take the fun out of it, because I know you're the type of dude, and I can tell that you're having fun.
Yeah.
What's driving you right now? Like, what's, you know?
What gets you up in the morning?
Yeah.
My wife. I got, you know, providing for my family, like proving everybody wrong.
I love you.
Proving, like you got to remember, like, because I remember, like, the first time I rapped on a song. I was like, mate, you shouldn't rap. You shouldn't rap. You should just, you know.
Get a job. Do something
with your life, you know, blah, 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 blah. And now, you know, 60 plus thousand monthly listeners on Spotify. And let me.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Still here. And that's the funny thing is, like, I mean, the last song I put out, Riding Dirty, it's been doing great. Mm-hmm. You know, we didn't put a dime in it. We didn't put one cent in it.
So that song seems heavily Texas.
Yeah, I'm very long live Pimp.
Hell yeah. It's one of my favorites for
Pimp
sure.
Pimp C is, you know, like I've always UGK, 8-Ball MJG. Like even now, like my favorite rap, one of my favorite rappers out is Big Crit.
Mm. See, you know, that's what I'm on another side of a lot of things. Pimp C's my goat. Like when people talk Jay-Z, Pimp C's my Jay-Z.
Right.
And that's country rap tunes. Yeah. He said it himself. He said, man, y'all keep that hip hop shit.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't want us. So
you know, here's the thing, man. Like and no diss to any lyricists or something, but when you're vibing here and you're riding, you don't want to have to go to math class to figure out what they're talking about.
No. I like this, you know, there's a time and place.
Yeah, there's a time and place. I mean, props to anybody. I try to, you know, put some lyricism in my stuff, but, like, let's be, you know,
To me, like, when people say country rap, like, all right, somebody in Nashville or Houston might not think they're country.
Right.
But their country is hell to somebody country, in New York.
Well,
city,
yeah,
you know
but country like, rap, country rap now is just white boy rap. Let's be honest. Like, mm-hmm. like back in the day, you know, the CD, your white boys can't rap. You remember website? Shout out to Alex King. You know, when that DVD came out and whatnot. All country rap is now is them is that you know. I mean, Shannon Jay, Esco, you know, I remember his gang.
I ain't heard that name in a minute.
What's he go by now?
Shannon Jay. Oh,
okay.
I
remember Esco.
You know.
So is that Kentucky Music Mafia?
Yeah.
Ooh. I knew it. Damn it. I knew it. I'm glad you.
Yeah.
You
shout out to Shannon, you know.
Damn,
but like,
I didn't.
Like, you can take everybody from those old forms and you can probably trace them back. You know what I'm saying? If you go through country,
ancient word forms.
if you look, go down the list of like country rappers, you can probably
trace them to DubLife.com or WhiteBoysCan'tRap.com.
I swear to God on my life.
Do that. You're right.
Do like a timeline or like a family tree.
But yeah, I mean, like, you know, people, when you hear about sports, you hear coaching trees. Like that. Yeah, you're right. I mean, that's the tree.
Yeah, absolutely.
Huh.
A lot of people don't even know what we're talking about right there.
Well, I know some of the dudes that wouldn't be traced, though. Some of the new names, I guess, you know.
But they could trace it down to their bloodline, though.
Yeah.
You know, that's awesome.
I don't know every. I'm just. I know,
Do
like.
Do you think that maybe it's kind of gotten too carried away with the gimmicks, though? Like, now everybody's you feel like every single song you got to be on a tractor. I know you don't, but I'm saying a lot of these people, I think they get carried away with the gimmick, and they feel like, well, since I'm white, I can be a country rapper.
There's a lot of that. There's a whole lot of that. Man, the thing is, what you got to understand is it's the fan base, because the fan base is so rabid and so just, You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Like the fan base is so hardcore. Like, shout out to every country rap fan, because they will take you and lift you up. They don't even have, you know.
And that's why the genres blew up. So
I mean,
quick,
they
though, right?
Yeah, absolutely. So they, I mean, I remember, you know, nobody knew me from Adam. They embraced me quick, and that was.
I feel like the two of you, I mean, kind of, it was at a pioneer stage of it.
Yeah,
kind
we
of
saw it, definitely saw it coming before it actually came. Oh,
yeah.
I mean, but now it's just so common. But, you know, one thing, like, I respect the ones in the game that I feel like, all right, if it wasn't country rap, would this dude be rapping or not?
Right.
And if the answer is yes, then yeah, I'll fuck with it. Right. But if the answer is no, then you likely just jumped up and tried to.
Right.
Catch the wave.
Yeah, catch the wave.
Catch the bandwagon for
so,
it. So yeah. Let's talk about Retro. You said that's the single?
Is it new single. Album? No, the album. The album come out later this year. The album's called, this is an exclusive. Wise Word exclusive. The album is called Hometown Hero. And
what's funny about that is we did a mixtape way back in the day and had Dietrich on it.
Oh, yeah?
And the name
and
of that
the
song
was Hometown Hero.
Was it?
Yeah.
No
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
That's funny. Fun fact.
Full circle.
Right, fun fact. That's a full circle moment. But yeah, the album's called Hometown Hero. It'll be out later this year. But the new song, Retro, which I had the concept for a while, but, you know, you get, I'm not the youngest in, tool in the whatever. I screwed that all up. But I'm not young anymore. I'm not as young as I once was, let's just say.
As young as you'll ever be.
Yeah. But you know, you get people, dude, you're old, why are you still rapping? Da, 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 da. You get all these trolls, and I always like to answer my trolls in my music, you know what I'm saying? There's still that, you know.
Man, why? So I gotta ask you this: why is other genres admired? Like when we talk about the Rolling Stones,
right?
Man,
no.
Them dudes are still doing it,
right?
You know, but in rap, it's like
I don't know. I mean, let's just be honest. There's miserable people in the world, and they're just gonna hate just to hate because that's what they are. They're haters. You know what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter, you know, but I'm going to be rapping in the fucking nursing home.
But
we're going to be having ciphers in the nursing home.
I got a take on that, though. I think the thing is hip-hop was just born then, you know what
yeah.
I'm saying? So we've never had that generation
That's true, too.
That was able
that's
to
very true, too.
Doing.
You got to think, hip-hop's a few years up. 1973 was the date hip-hop. Was yeah. The year hip-hop was born. So,
well, you know, one of the oldest rappers in the game actually saved hip-hop last year because, now, I believe I'm true to fact on this, but there had been nothing charted all year until Killer Mike dropped his album.
And that was the best
charted.
Album of 2023.
Yep.
And I don't care what nobody says, and he deserved that fucking
yeah.
Grammy.
And he's the old rapper, you know?
Yeah.
But I just don't think the youth is bringing... And there's some talented young guys out there. I'm not saying that, but I'm saying that, like, I feel like it's going to take some of the older ones to keep it going.
Yeah, I mean, see, I don't want to sound like an old head hater, but...
Come on, man. It's killing for us. I want to know now.
I don't want to sound like... You know, it's just the songwriting isn't... You know, it's not...
They hadn't lived it, for
that,
one thing.
Yeah, it's yeah, not as right. Meaningful and, you know, like... Like, Killer Mike's album was good because it was real. Mm. It was his life.
Yeah, genuine.
You know what I'm saying? And the thing about music is it has to be relatable.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying? Like.
But if you're authentic, people's more likely to relate to you.
Absolutely.
You know, if you're putting on a front or a fake. You know,
yeah, I mean, you'll.
It's harder to fake something that you're not.
Would you say? Because I can ask you this, because you're an engineer yourself. Do you think that it's so easy to make music now?
Oh, absolutely.
That everybody's doing
absolutely.
It. And that kind of is hurting.
Absolutely. And the thing is like even beats, and you can get on the internet and buy a beat for $25.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or nothing.
Or throw some loops together
right,
and put it on.
Right. Throw some loops together and then just rap. You know, like it's so simple to make music. Anybody can make music now. Like, and especially now, like they got AI mastering and mixing. Yeah. So
let's talk about that. What do you think about the AI and the music
industry? I mean, it's going to help a lot of independent artists. You know, like I've sent some of my just to see, like Slate Digital. Mm-hmm. You know, if you play for a Slate Digital monthly subscription, I think you can get 3 songs mastered.
I like Universal Audio, but I get what you're saying.
But they have an AI mastering program where you can get 3 songs a month if you pay the subscription.
I know, dude owns a studio right now that uses that.
So I've sent like a couple songs. I mean, I end up mastering my own, but I sent a couple songs just to see.
Well, it takes out a lot of the extra shit, and you can tune it in.
Hell yeah, there. Mastering, for me, I never wanted to fuck with mastering at all.
Mastering is a skill.
Because it is. But man, that's one of them things to where when you say mastering to me, I'm thinking the real process, you know. Right. When you say mastering to one of these new guys, they feel, oh yeah, I can make that louder.
Make it louder.
You know what I'm saying?
Hey, man, I remember back in the day, we used to just slap that L2 on and crank it.
Peak, no peak, smash it all the way up.
So much distortion.
That's why, like somebody was saying, I was watching something the other day, and he's like, man, when I get it now, you know, you used to see the waveforms, the dynamic range, and now it's just a block, you know, all the way over. So,
somebody that's never heard your music before, how would you describe it to them?
Bipolar. How am I feeling that day? You know, like. A lot of my music, I'm 2.5 years sober.
Okay.
So a lot of my music has to do with my addiction, my struggles with alcohol, this, that, and the other.
Well, salute to you for that.
Congratulations on that.
That's awesome,
man.
2 years.
Hell yeah.
So yeah, a lot of my music, you know, has to do with that. It's just what I'm feeling that day. And I'm bipolar and ADHD, so.
A little bit all over the place.
So a little bit all over the place, you know. You know, one minute I could be sounding like J. Cole, the next minute I'm sounding like Cole Ford.
Have you been on the road since you've been sober?
I haven't.
How you gonna fight that?
I think I'll be all right, cause just the amount of blessings that I've seen since I've gotten sober, and where my head is mentally, as far as like the business side, and see, I never, you know, I was all about the party, just make it. We're fucking rock stars. That's all I cared about, was being a rock star. Now I'm thinking about the business side, okay, well, we got this money going here, we got this, you know what I'm saying?
The P&Ls of it all, as if it was a real business. Because it is a real business.
It is a real business. Yeah. I mean, right now, like we've got a photography company, a farm, and Franklin Embry.
Is it a cattle farm?
Huh?
You said you grew up on a cattle farm?
No, I switched it over, and I leased the farmland out for crop.
Okay.
So it's basically, so I don't have to run it, but
still get to.
So Franklin Emery, is that the traditional label, or is that like how?
Franklin Emery Media LLC is just it's media.
Do you have
company.
Any plans? Like, what's the 5-year plan? Do you plan on bringing any other acts in? Because I know you're the type of personality you want to put somebody on. So here's the thing.
I'm not going to promise that I'm bringing any other acts on, because I have to find the right act. I need somebody that can match my energy.
Yeah.
And match my work ethic and be in the studio like I need somebody that's pushing me and making me want to get up and go.
Is there anything like, else that you're looking for somebody who might be listening? Like,
I mean, eventually I would like to get it built up to where we're able to hire I'd like to teach some more videographers.
But what type of artist, let's say, would you be? What's your ideal if you was to be able to create your own artist right now? I'm from age to style to, and that's going to be Franklin Embry's first artist he's going to put out.
Why are you going to put me in? Why are you going to put me on?
If they're out there and they feel like they might fit the bill, you know.
They can just send their demos to
right.
Email.
I'm trying to get your email.
FranklinEmbryMedia@gmail.com. I mean, I'm a hip hop head, so they got to be able to rap, right? I'm from Kentucky, so I like the beats I like making are like really trapped out bluegrass music. Like banjos and mandolins and fiddles over trap drums and trap grass. Trap grass. Yeah,
okay.
over 808s right, and you know, that's the type of beats I like to make. You know. So I guess, you know, I want somebody like me, only younger and probably can sing a little bit better. if they can sing and rap, you see, you got to, in this day and age, you got to do everything. You can't just be a rapper.
So, all right, now let me ask you what we just talked about. You gravitated toward, you wanted a younger artist.
Right.
Why is that?
Cause
I probably know why, but I'm asking you.
Because a younger artist is more apt to take direction, you know, and that's not always the case, because you come up with some cocky artists that, you know, you can't tell them, yo, that ain't it, bro. You know, because I've been in the studio with several people. Like, I want somebody to tell me, if it ain't it, please tell me it ain't it. You know what I'm saying? I want that.
Right.
Like, and I've been
constructive criticism.
You gotta have it. Yeah.
And I've been in the studio with people that be wanting to fight you because you like it ain't it.
The yes men.
They want the yes men, and you know, and I've never been a yes man. It's probably why I don't get along with a lot of people in the industry.
fair.
So,
what do you think about the state of the genre you're in right now? Let's say, like, I mean, is it going to come to a head?
I don't, it's not getting any bigger than it is. I mean, it's not getting any bigger. Everybody's switching genres. Everybody's following the jelly mode right now, and everybody's trying to go country. You know,
that's true.
That's, I mean, let's just be honest.
Just tell it like it is, Frank.
All these rappers that are in country rap are just following jelly. They've been following him since
2010.
You know, Jelly and Haystack, you know. That's, you know, so whatever Jelly's move is, that's what they're gonna do.
This is like the breeding ground for it, like the Kentucky, Tennessee. I don't know if it's, I mean, of course we're biased,
but you know, I've seen a lot of the new faces, I feel like, are coming from up there around like
Justin
Indiana,
Town.
Illinois area. I've seen
I mean, you, Illinois or Indiana, Ohio, Wisconsin, you know, but once again, you know, those are more church disciples, though.
Church disciples.
You know what I'm...
I was going to ask if that Miko, they're not Miko.
Yeah,
Miko.
Hey, Miko was on my first Industry Takeover album.
Yeah. So that goes back to the forums and the DNA of it all.
So
anyway,
but yeah, Bunny, you want my opinion on country rap as the genre, as the whole? Bunny said it best. It's the shit stain of the music industry.
Damn, I didn't know she said that, but yeah, that was some.
like I'm always gonna make country rap because I'm country and I fucking love hip hop. So I'm not switching, you know. It's,
I feel
always
like that was always kind of my thing. Like, it was country rap because I'm from Kentucky and I rap. Like, I'm not like, I didn't ever sit down. I was like, man, I'm gonna make a country rap song. It just was because, yeah.
I mean, I've always wanted, like I'm from Kentucky. Bluegrass is Kentucky. So I've always wanted to, you know, when California, you know, they had the G-Funk, because funk music was from California. You know what I'm saying? Parliament was from, you know, that's where George Clinton was from. So when Dr. Dre made the G-Funk, you know, it sounded like California. Yeah. Boom Bap sounds like New York. You know what I'm saying? So I've always wanted to be like, how can we take these Kentucky instruments, the dobro, banjo, mandolin, fiddle, and make them...
It makes sense
to me. Yeah, Timberland was one of the first to do it, I think.
Yeah, absolutely.
But for whatever reason, because they was at Sony at the time, but Eminem and them was doing their thing, and I guess Sony was like, you know, they didn't see the numbers that they wanted, so they kind of left it.
And they did, and then, you know,
the underground, I guess, kind of picked it up. And
so let me ask you this: now that the internet's involved, is it harder to, for a state or an area or a region to have its sound?
I think so. I think so, because even now, like you, I mean, I guess Chicago's got drill.
Yeah.
But ain't drill originally from like the UK or something?
Because back in the day, you could tell somebody was from New Orleans,
right?
Or Memphis, yeah. Or Atlanta, or
absolutely Texas.
Yeah.
Yeah, Texas is still like, when it comes to production, that's like my favorite style.
Oh, yeah, that's what I listen to most. It's either Texas or Tennessee.
Yeah,
for most of Memphis and Texas for me.
Yeah,
for sure.
So,
What would be an influence that you had? I mean,
when you first started, Pimp C is. Pac, Pimp, you know.
Let's go ahead and get it out there. What's your Mount Rushmore of hip hop?
Are we talking about? All right. So I'm just gonna my favorite. I don't care about. We're not gonna talk about who's the top lyricist. I'm talking about who I'm jamming.
That's what we want.
Tupac, LL Cool J, Pimp C.
Everybody has trouble on the fourth one, man. That's when you gotta narrow it down.
It's gotta be Eminem.
All right.
It's gotta be Eminem.
So I think the LL Cool J was a surprise there.
It surprised me too, yeah. But
fun fact.
That's going back to your roots, though.
LL Cool J is why I started loving hip hop. I remember when I'm Bad came out, like when I was little.
Early 90s. Yeah.
Real talk, my sister, I used to sneak in my sister's room, right? She had this record player, this Pioneer record player, and she had LL Cool J's Going Back to Cali, and the B-side, I think, was like Jack the Ripper. All right? So I would sneak in there into her room when she was at her dad's. I'd sneak in her room, and I'd put that record on, and that's like when I was, you know, first like was trying to scratch and be a DJ or whatever, had the idea of being a DJ and whatnot. So, I mean, I remember her dad, this, like, when Breaking, the movie Breaking came out, like I was young. But they took me to see Breaking, and I wanted to be a breakdancer. And I guess her dad would have me breakdancing in the mall and asking for tips.
Damn. How much of that do you remember?
I don't remember much of it, but my sister told me about it.
Is there any video?
No. Unfortunately, this is the 80s.
We need to put it.
We're talking, this is like 1984.
Who's somebody, let's go personal life, who's somebody that you looked up to coming up? Not music-wise, but just like somebody that you looked at like, man, that's how to be a man, or that's how you're supposed to navigate through life.
My dad. Absolutely, my dad. You know, we lost my dad last year. But my dad, entrepreneur, hard worker, worked his ass off, you know. And, you know, I had a great childhood because of it.
So that's where you get your grind from.
Absolutely. I mean, like this is like some personal stuff that I deal with. Like, we're just going to put it all out there. I don't care. But, like, making that man happy was impossible. Like, I was never, you know, and my goal all through life was just want to make him proud. You know what I'm saying?
Keep you striving for the next. Yeah,
absolutely.
For perfection, I can't even call it.
Like, I'm a total perfectionist because of it. Yeah. So
when are you satisfied, man?
I'm never satisfied.
Never satisfied.
Never.
So, all right, how do you determine, all right, this song's ready or this album's ready? Like,
we just got to put it out.
Yeah, okay.
Did somebody got to slap your hand and be like, all right.
No, I do it to myself. Yeah. I've gotten to the point where, you know, here's the thing. I got timelines. Like I needed Retro to be out by the 20, when is it coming out? I don't even know what 19th. Huh? 19th. It's coming out the 19th. I needed it out before the 23rd.
Yeah, so you just set dates and goals and deadlines.
Yeah. And that's what I got to do, because otherwise my ADHD will have me,
continuously tweaking.
Yeah, and no, that's not right. Oh, I can't get the 2K. Do I need to cut the 2K, boost the 2K? No, the 2K is driving me insane. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, little things like that on my voice and everything. Yeah, it's...
So you're doing everything yourself. Yeah. Mixing,
mastering, making the beats.
Who's your engineer while you're in the booth?
Me.
Yeah.
I got just a microphone right in front of my computer, and I just... Yeah, I don't even go in the booth.
So what's the plans for this year? You said something about you was going out back out on the road, or?
I'm hoping. With my dad passing away, I have my mother has dementia and is in bedridden, so I have to make sure I have to take care of her and all of her stuff and do everything. So I have to make sure she's good and we have people to take care of her while I'm gone. But, you know, the goal is to get the album done and then start booking and hopefully putting a tour together. You know, that's, you know, my dream was to always do a West Coast tour. Mm. Like, so I want to, before I say I'm done with the artist thing, I want to make that happen. So
I wonder what they're like out there on that genre. I've seen a couple of people.
Colorado is one of my favorite places to perform. This is some Bowling Green people. Back in 2015, 2016, you know, I used to DJ for Twang and Round.
Okay. Shout out Twang and Round.
So we went out to, and I was opening for them, and then I was DJ for them. So that's how we were running this leg. So we went to Texas and up to Colorado, Nebraska, and back. Man, I got to Colorado, like, and mind you, like, my numbers weren't near what they are now. Like, I was still fresh in the country rap scene, and I got out there, and they up in front singing my lyrics and everything else. I'm like,
yeah.
You know this song? Yeah. Ain't no doubt about it. You know, I'm like,
I bet there's no better feeling than that.
None.
From home.
None.
But it goes back to, you know, the saying, you always get more support away from home.
It's facts. And I've came up with a theory behind this is, and this is no diss to nobody or anything, but the better a friend becomes, the more they take you for granted, I guess. Ooh. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, so.
That's kind of deep.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just real. It's just what I've noticed, like, you know.
Comfortable? Maybe they get comfortable.
Comfortable, yeah.
I've always thought it was like this, man. So, if they come from where you come from and they see that you guys had the same resources.
Right.
But you continue to rise and level up, that means that they could have, but they didn't put in the work for it. So
that too.
It's a reflection of themselves of what they could have done. So,
you know, I just in my experience, strangers cheer you a lot more.
Oh yeah, they say it's easier to turn a customer into a friend than it is a friend into a customer.
That's right.
You know,
and here's another thing. There's a reason why artists do not reply to your comments and don't reply. You know what I'm saying? Because they don't want you to feel, you know,
like accessible.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So the more accessible you are, you know.
Yeah, that's part of the 48 laws. Yeah. Like, you know, how available you are. You know, you got to limit your availability.
Yeah.
Then you're worth more, you know.
Just like four wheelers in Bowling Green, right?
Right.
Supply and demand.
Yeah. So, you just, the more accessible you are to people, you know, they probably ain't going to support you as much as,
unfortunately, it makes sense.
It's weird too, because like I'm a total people pleaser, and I totally, you know, want to talk.
You can't please.
No,
everybody.
I know, but I'm the type of person, I want to talk to everybody. I want to thank everybody. You know, like if you take time out of your day to share my music and go listen to my music and whatnot, you know, I want to thank you and all that stuff. You know what I'm saying? And So it goes against my like core nature of who I am.
Well, you know, I think it in the beginning it's necessary. You know, like we mentioned Jelly before. Yeah. But, you know, he says he built his fan base one handshake at a time. You
right.
know?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. But at a certain point, you can't continue to do that.
Yeah.
Right? But yeah. So man, I was going to ask you a couple other questions, kind of okay. aside from music, man. What else have you done to kind of bring the bacon home?
Like I said, the farm, of yeah. course. Me and my wife have started a photography company.
Okay.
And you got a camera about to die.
Mm. We got more.
Okay.
Yeah.
That ain't the only one. What's the name of that company?
Captured by Hayden.
Captured by Hayden.
Okay. So, and
serving the Owensboro area.
Yeah, Owensboro. I mean, we'll in Indianapolis. My wife's from Indy.
Do y'all have any kind of niche that y'all like to stick to? Like, I don't know, like weddings or proms?
She likes doing seniors and portraits, families and seniors. Weddings is a little bit too chaotic.
I understand that.
You know, there's good money in it, but it's, if you screw up, it's a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Like you fuck up somebody's wedding.
Oh, yeah. I was just at a wedding. And it gave me the idea of maybe getting into the drone photography because they had a guy there with the drone. But, yeah, this dude, he went to the Philippines and bought him a wife, basically, to come back. And I was at that wedding. And, yeah, dude was out there with the drones. Like, you know, he was following them as they rode on the motorcycle up the road and everything. So,
yeah. Like I say, weddings is – I've videoed some weddings, you know, and it's pretty, you know – it's pretty
intense,
and you know, and
can't have the batteries down.
And especially like when, like, I gotta get this done, and you're just like insane, going crazy. Yeah,
time limits on everything.
Yeah.
Is that what I saw you post something this morning about a new business venture? It seemed like.
Oh well, that's Captured by Hayden,
that's what that was.
Yeah, like I said, we're. Starting the photography business, I'm thinking about doing social media for some people. Like, because one thing about what I've done as far as like grown Franklin Embry from, you know, a guy that couldn't rap on beat to, you know, 100+ thousand followers or whatnot is
developed
a skill for content and understanding
like,
algorithms and how the game works and, you know, what you got to do to get attention.
How do you manage all these things and manage for it to still be successful at the end of the day?
ADHD. I've got like, all right, so
well,
like
that's a superpower then, right? I mean,
so like during the, like my album that's coming out a little at a time, it was all wrote during the winter when I can't be on the farm, when I can't do, you know, so I sit down this amount of time during the winter to focus on my album. That was my main focus. Now, you know, my main focus is trying to get, you know, build up business for the photography company and, you know, get stuff looking right and clean up and grass mowed and, you know, all that stuff out at the farm. And, you know, like I said, I haven't actually dove into doing social media for people or content for people. I'm just talking about it or, you know, it's an idea.
See, I do it for a local electrician here in Bowling Green, so I'm familiar with a little bit about it.
So, I haven't dove into it yet. I don't have any clients or anything like that. I'm just thinking, you know, maybe if I can make it work, like, especially like realtors. You know, I mean, I know her heart's in portraiture, but I think if we can get, you know, some realtors on board with us that are paying us like a, you know, a retainer.
Tags in the photos.
Oh, man,
if you get a retainer and you're doing so many houses a week or something like that, and, you know, if we can get a couple, that'll, you know, be money for the photography business. So that's where I'm thinking about putting my focus for the photography business until she can build up enough of
so you're
portfolio.
Taking calls on that right now then though, right?
Yeah,
so
absolutely. 270-222-1665.
We'll put it on the screen.
Yeah. CapturedByHayden@gmail.com. CapturedByHayden on Facebook. We might have an Instagram.
We will by the time you watch it.
Yeah, right? Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, hey, like, when you're down and out, man, like, what's something you do to kind of get yourself back up in a positive
now, especially
space?
That you can't not go to that bottle? Like,
well, the bottle, that was the thing, man. The bottle was putting me down and out. You know what I'm saying? Because, like when I was drinking, I was drinking. Like, we're talking.
Yeah,
I saw
some clips. Yeah, you weren't playing. Kentucky boys, when they get in there, they're on a different level. And you was definitely one of them.
It was something else. But, yeah. Now, when I get down, like, just get active, get creative, get focused. Like, I tell you, like, I grew up swimming. Like, I was on the swim team growing up and stuff like that.
Fun fact.
You know, went to state in a butterfly. Yeah. You couldn't picture my fat ass doing that, could you? But yeah, so I like to swim. That really clears my head. Getting mowing grass.
Oh, I agree.
Mowing, like, yeah. Especially when you got like 20 acres that
you
gotta mow.
Bush hogging, maybe first.
No, well, I gotta get a bush hog.
Yeah.
Yeah. So right now we're just on the zero turn.
This is so loud, it drowns everything out, and you can just kind of be in your own world.
Exactly. Yeah. I love it. I love mowing grass.
No, I agree.
What would you say to somebody that's.
In fact, I've been out there so much, I'm like, man. I could start a mowing company.
That's the easiest startup, right? Get you a trailer and a zero turn.
Yeah.
You could either call it Cut by Hayden or Trap Grass.
I Trap Grass.
There it is again.
Hey, I need a percentage. Yeah. Like, 10%, I'm good.
But yeah, so you know, I like mowing so much that I've actually, you know, been playing with that idea of like maybe starting. Like a mowing company.
Yeah.
But
it's just so many of them nowadays. It seems
true.
Like everybody with a truck and a trailer's got a lawnmower on it.
That's very true. And the other problem is selling. I hate selling.
Yeah.
Like I'm a computer nerd, bro.
Do Facebook, run your content, and get a lead generation going, and you'll be good. Just show up and cut the yard.
Yeah.
Don't even have to talk to nobody.
That's it.
I was about to ask you, what would you say to somebody that's out there struggling with the addiction right now? How did you?
I mean, the real is until you decide that you're done, you're gonna keep struggling.
You're
like,
right.
Like the thing with me and like when it was just me drinking, like I didn't care if I embarrassed myself. That shit didn't bother me, like. Never cared what anybody thought about me. So, oh, he's just a drunk, da 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 da. You know, I never cared. But when I got married and I got stepkids, what kind of example are you setting?
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? And just that my binges were getting so bad. Like,
more frequently.
Yeah, see, I was a binge drinker. See, it would be weekend warrior, and then I'd sober up. Like, I was never a functioning alcoholic. I was a binge drinker. So it would just be weekends and sober up and get my week's worth of work. I was a weekend warrior.
Yeah.
Well, the weekends started turning into the weekends plus Monday.
Right.
And then it started going weekends plus Monday, Tuesday. And Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. You know, it was week on, week off.
Mm.
You know what I'm saying? It was just getting, and I wasn't on my business. I wasn't, you know, I was just not in a good place.
Was there a tipping point?
Yeah, so I was about to ask, when was the moment where you was like,
I had gotten, you mentioned Justin Time earlier. I'm not a fan, just to be perfectly honest. I got real drunk one day and somebody came in. We would go live. We would do these live feeds, right? And we would just get, you know, shots for shares and, you know, and we would just get drunk. That's what we did. And, you know, the more shares we got, the more we drank. So that's that.
Don't try this at home.
Don't try this at home. Do not, because I almost killed myself. I'm not going to lie to y'all. But, and I wasn't a fan of Justin. Like, if you go back, and somebody came into the live feed and it brought his name up, and he had just, like, I love Charlie Farley. Charlie Farley is one of my best friends in the industry. And
where's he from?
Arkansas.
Okay, well, we're not going to go there right now, but yeah, but yeah, I knew who you're talking about.
But
I've heard that name too.
Yeah, I love
Charlie. Was talking about
him. I love Charlie, and you know, and Justin had went at Charlie or made some videos at him, and so I'm like a pit bull, so I'm loyal. Like you go at my home, yeah. You know, it's fuck you forever. Yeah. You know, yeah, like
any of my friends.
Yeah, like you can say whatever you want about me, but you start talking about my people, mm-hmm. and I'm like, you know, that's just how I am. But anyways,
that's respectable for me.
So anyways, I was live and somebody came in and I don't know, I guess I went on a rant about him, got angry and started talking my shit and what this, that, and the other. And then we started having this back and forth for a couple of days, and the whole time I'm still drinking. Like I was just
straight. You're on the same drunk then.
Yeah. Yeah. I never stopped drinking this whole time. Like it, and this went on for like 4 days. But, so I would wake up and I wasn't drinking regular bourbon. I was drinking barrel proof fucking Elijah Craig. So we're talking about that 120, 130 proof bourbon. So I was just drinking, and then we went live on a Thursday, right? And at this point, I shouldn't have been on
so
live.
You jumped from one live to another live on the same drunk.
Yeah,
basically.
Basically, yeah. It was one started on Tuesday. I went up and did. Do you hostile huddle? I went up to Lexington and done the hostile huddle podcast on Monday. We had played Gregory Lake that weekend for Fall Fest, and then I went to Lexington to do the hostile huddle. And then I came back and we did our live, and I started drinking again, and then that drunk went till Friday. Okay, so I didn't stop drinking from this Tuesday till Friday. And we were going back and forth, and this just had me so, you know, I was drunk, I was angry, I was, you know, not in my right head, not sleeping, not eating, who knows. But so we went live, and one of my hardcore followers, Sarah Burton, had came into the live. I still don't know exactly what I said, but you know, my team said, let me know they cut the live. I was just, you know, when I started going at like people that I guess was following me and everybody, you know, that had been supporting me. And when I still go at that, started going at my supporters, that's
cross the line for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's when I was like, do what? I did what? You know? Mm. And I was like, that's it. I'm done. That's, you know.
Have you reconnected with any of those?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I sent her a message and made a public apology, like, as soon as I heard about it, you know.
So you owned it, man.
Yeah. I mean, I believe in, you know, any mistake you make as a man, you got to own that shit.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So, but that was the incident that, So really, man, shout out to Justin Tom. Like,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
What, like, keeps you away from going back? Because that's two different, to me, that's two different things. Like, so, you know, putting it down, but the real battle is
divine
away.
Intervention. Like, because I would have been back out on the road. So, all right. So I really feel, and I'm not a very religious person, but I really feel like it was divine intervention. See, when my dad was taking care of my mom, while I would go and tour, and you know, my dad was still capable of taking care of my mom when I would be out on the road and whatnot. But when about a month after I had gotten sober, I was in Indianapolis. It was December 13th. I was up in Indianapolis for the weekend, right? And because we were still going every weekend, even though we weren't doing shows, like we went and saw Jelly in Kansas City. Like, we've always been big travelers. So I was still going, and Dad would take care of Mom on the weekends. And I was gone, and I came back, drove back Sunday morning, and when I walked in, Dad was laying on the floor with a broken hip. Hmm. So, and he had been laying there for like a few hours, you know, like he literally could have died right there. But from that point on, I not only did I have to make sure Mom was good, I had to make sure Dad was good also. So that was December. So he went. He died on the St. Paddy's Day last year. Mm. So it was from 21 to 23. So I had to take care of both of them.
Responsibilities.
Yeah, that'll make. You know, man, I just for whatever reason, this might not be nothing, but I just got a connection like between St. Patrick's Day and your dad dying. And I bet you used to go hard on St. Patrick's Day. And now, instead of it being St. Patrick's Day, you're going to think about that.
Right. So, yeah. That's really what kept me off the road, because I had to take care of both of them. Like, you know, I still have to take care of my mom, you know. So I have to be with them, you know, a lot. So...
Switching gears a little bit. Do you have like a morning routine that you kind of follow through on a daily basis, or you just kind of freestyle it?
No, I have a morning routine.
ADHD. What is it?
She knows.
Oh,
I'm gonna
tell it. Around.
Do we want to know what this is?
So I get up.
Piss naked off the front porch.
No, I get up. And I have this special time I call tubby time. Okay. So I'll lay in the bathtub and I like rev run and do my social media.
Okay.
Start
okay.
My day with my social media. And then, she's.
This is great.
Hey, man.
I want to hear her input right now. Like,
tubby time. Oh, God. So, yeah, I do all my social media, reply to all the comments. You know,
anytime somebody gets a message from you now, they can.
Every time I see you post now, I'm going to think, damn, it's tubby time.
No, because the great thing about posting is I can schedule the post. So I schedule my post.
But we still know.
Okay.
Yeah, you still know, yeah.
I still got the picture. Is there a bubble bath?
4 a.m.? So you're an early riser.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm an early riser.
I'm a morning person.
I love the morning. What do you love most about that time? I feel like the rest of the world's still asleep.
Yeah, I'm
kind of up.
It's when I'm the most energetic, most creative, most ready to... I mean, I'm ready to take on the world, you know?
Yeah.
The thing is I'm ADHD, so... So I wake up in the morning, but I know when 3 o'clock comes, I'm gonna be like, you know, I'm gonna have that 3 o'clock drain.
Mm-hmm.
So,
have you always been like that, like an early riser?
Yeah.
What's the 3 o'clock drain?
I mean, have you never heard that about ADHD people? Like, they go so hard, and then they crash. So like I'll get up and I'll just go hard. And then about 3 p.m.
The jets.
I'm just like
gassed,
uh-huh. Like no energy, no, you know.
How many hours of sleep do you usually get?
4 to 6 probably.
How many good hours? Are you pretty solid sleeper?
No.
Or
no? No, not at all.
No.
Not at all. I wake up at least 4 times in the night.
Yeah.
You know, and I'll wake up you know, 1 and be up for like 2 hours, you know, scrolling TikTok.
You know.
So. Gotcha. So is it, what's a normal bedtime for you then?
I normally try to go to bed about 9, 10, whether or not that's when I fall asleep, but that's when I try to go to bed.
Yeah, I'm about the same on that. I get that.
But, and I guess the other thing with me is, you know, as far as my morning routine is, I go hard. You know, I don't do energy drinks. I don't do coffee. It's pre-workout. Even if I'm not working out, it's pre-workout.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Is there a certain brand that you go with?
Rise.
Rise.
Yeah.
Do you work out?
I swim. I work out a little bit.
That's a hell of a workout.
But yeah. I'm trying to do a little something with this all this
party.
Sexiness. I'm trying to do a little something with it.
Hard to keep off now, dude. Calm down, Whitey. Now, but here on the Wise Words podcast, we always like to ask, do you got any favorite quote that you...
If you're going through hell, keep going.
Okay, I like that one.
If you're going through hell, keep going. That's one of my favorites.
The faster you get through it, the better.
Comparison is the killer of joy.
I like that.
So, and this is for anybody that if you're... on social media and stuff, you know, it's easy to compare your everyday life to other people's highlight reels.
Exactly.
So stop comparing, you know, just because you see somebody, you know, living it up on social media, you know.
And as a content creator, do you feel, I feel like it's important that, you know, if you're going to post the good stuff, you need to
absolutely
be share the bad stuff as
absolutely
well.
I mean, and to be honest with you, like a lot of my support came from just I think me being as open and honest, and you know, I wear my heart on my sleeve. I don't hide nothing. I am who I am. If you like it, cool. If you don't, fuck it. Yeah. You know,
so, well, and you know, you'll attract your people that way because there's going to be people relate
right
all the time. So
yeah, I mean, you know, and I think, you know, you can't, you know, I don't know. I'm very big on authenticity. Very,
it is.
Yeah, I love it.
I'm very,
every time.
I'm very big on authenticity. And, you know, I want to be as authentic as possible. Like when I was drinking, my content reflected that I was drinking. Mm-hmm. And, you know, now I'm older. I want my content to reflect, you know, I want to inspire people. I want to
grown, you know, man music.
Yeah, I mean, I still like to have fun. I still like to, you know, buy a four wheeler and come to Bowling Green and buy a four wheeler just so we can go have fun on the farm. And
let's talk about that. So he said that he got a message from him. He said you came here for a podcast and are leaving with a four wheeler.
Yeah.
So
yeah, I thought he went to get a burger.
No, and we did.
I see him on Facebook like, hey, I just bought a four-wheeler.
No. That's why we were late. That's why we were late because I was like, all right, well, we're going to stop by this little four-wheeler shop and see what they're, you know, what they got in stock.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Big Country. Shout out to Big Country Motorsports.
Big Country.
Yeah, so we stopped in there because I didn't like the selection over in Evansville. Owensboro don't have a shop, you know, a dealership. So I was like, let's stop in here and see what they got, you know. And they had a 2023 model marked down, and I was like, okay,
where do I sign?
Let's let's do the paperwork, you yeah. know. So I didn't know the paperwork was going to take as long as it took. So we left there. I was like, well, maybe she wanted me to take her double dogs, or that's what it's called. And I was like, well, you know, we got 30 minutes. We got to be there in 30 minutes.
They got good smash burgers there at Double Dogs, I will say. So the next time y'all are down here, hit them up.
So I was like, we got 30 minutes. Maybe there's something around there that we can get, you know. And then I messaged you and
did
I was like,
did you do Burger Bowl?
Yeah.
What'd you think about it?
I thought it was good. Yeah, it was real good.
See, I knew y'all was on some. Y'all had some kind of burger.
Burger weekend on Owensboro,
shit
yeah.
going on. But, yeah. like, you and her was like, y'all yeah. was like, man, we're going to go try.
Another thing, you know, me and my wife, we have We have a YouTube channel called The Haydens that we've just started, okay. and we're trying to build up. And it's basically, you know, like I said, we love to travel and stuff like that. Like, we were just in St. Louis, and I'm a big roller coaster junkie.
Oh, so, I love them too.
So I like to, you know, oh, new roller coaster, we need to go, you know, here. Like, we have season pass holders, so like, we can get in any Six Flags.
That's pretty cool. So, I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah, yeah. It's like $7 a month, and you can go to any Six Flags.
Oh, so y'all go often, yeah.
Yeah. So we've started a thing where we're, like, vlogging. Like, we'll go try little off-the-road restaurants and whatnot. Like, we went to Lambert's where they throw rolls at your head.
Oh, yeah, that's where good. They throw by Branson or...
Yeah, well, no, the one more by Paducah.
Okay.
Yeah, more on the line.
Yeah, I'll make sure we get subscribed to that and y'all should too.
Yeah, we're going.
It's The Haydens on The Haydens 270, I think, is the.
How long have y'all been doing that?
We started it in 2021, but you know, we never really followed up on it. We did our first video in 2021, but we've always talked about it. So now we're making a consistent effort to, you know, go to little off the wall spots, you know. And if y'all know any spots like around Kentucky, little cool little eateries or whatnot, like we.
Yeah.
Man, there's this place in between here and Owensboro and Beaver Dam. I always stop at. It's called IDK.
IDK, yeah, it's pretty good.
IDK Buffet.
Yeah. It's off the road a little bit.
Don't let buffet throw you off because it's a buffet. But it's all like soul cooking.
Yeah.
Real country good. Food.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, definitely yeah. check it out. Like I said, it's in between here and there.
It's a little shopping plaza over by Rural King, ain't it?
Yeah. All right, now buffet, they're going to have to come with it because I'm from Owensboro. We got the moonlight now. We got the moonlight now. So they're going to have to come with it.
At Moonlight Barbecue. Yeah. Is.
And Moonlight and Old South. Old South, too. If you're ever in Owensboro, man, make sure you go out to Old South.
I know about Moonlight, but I don't know too much about Old South.
I like Moonlight's barbecue better than Old South, but Old South got, like, fried chicken and fish on Fridays and stuff like that. Catfish, yeah. Mm. Yeah, Old South.
So, hey, man, I got a question. We asked about your hip-hop Mount Rushmore earlier.
Yeah.
Just to kind of give a little... shine a little light on Owensboro. Give me your Owensboro Mount Rushmore.
My Owensboro hip hop Mount Rushmore. Yeah. We've really done this?
Just came to me. Just, alright.
No.
We'll do it.
Let's zero in.
We'll do it. And I'm disqualifying myself. You know, just
fair
because.
Enough. I get it, yeah.
But I'm on it. But I'm disqualifying myself. It's Dietrich, Manboard.
Number three.
Man who?
Manboard.
Was he with Eric High back in the day, mm-hmm. Kaiser? I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
I do remember him.
He had bars.
Yeah.
Is he still doing?
He doesn't really put music out like that. I mean, I'm sure he still does it, but he's never been one to like really like drop. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He's just been. Yeah, we just all know that he's one of the ones. You know what I'm saying? Teflon Vaughn.
Four. Jeopardy music.
Yeah, I need we need the do 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 do. You know, I got to go back to the basic click and say Newton. All
right.
So
I'll have to check out a couple of those. I honestly didn't know I knew that second one too.
We're talking besides Teflon Vaughn. You know, I don't know how much music any of them's dropped in probably the past 20 years.
Who's your top four country rappers?
Ooh. Really? Are they gonna put me... So I don't guess we're counting Jelly anymore. Jelly's off...
We'll omit
Jelly. Okay. Hard Target.
Okay.
I've heard a lot about him.
Hard Target. Bars.
Yeah.
Bars. Charlie Farley.
Okay.
Struggle. We keeping Struggle.
Sure.
Or okay, Struggle. Church.
Gotta put him up there.
Yeah.
No, that's very fair. I like that little list. Of course, yeah. You know, this is...
Two of them are just my favorite rappers. They're probably not the most popular.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like Hard Target and Charlie are just... I really like the way they rap, you know?
Yeah.
Charlie is really the one that really, like, got me into country rap. Like, because when I was working on... Or actually opened the doors to country rap, the genre, and said, hey, this is Frank Lambry. Because when I was working on Bourbon Broads and Beats, I was listening to a lot of country rap on Pandora. Mm. This was before Spotify. So I was listening to country rap.
Wow. How long has Spotify been around?
Yeah, so I was listening to Pandora at the gym, and I was on Coach Channel or Danny Boone's channel. I'm a huge Danny Boone fan.
Okay.
Shout out to Rehab. And Charlie came on, and I went to Twitter, and I made a post. I said, you know, because at that time, you know, there a lot of the country rap was kind of, you know, very simple and very cliche. They were remixing, like, you know, they'd take old hip-hop songs and make them mud songs and stuff like that. It was real gimmicky.
Yeah.
You know, so I wasn't really, you know, into all that. And then Charlie came on, I was like, who the hell is this guy? So I went to Twitter, I said, you know, most of this country rap just ain't that great, but this dude Charlie Farley can spit. I mean, just made that post and tagged him, and next thing you know, we're chopping it up, and I was like, hey, I do beats. He said, hey, I'm working on a mixtape. I was like, oh, you mean I can sample? Hold on. Yeah. And I ended up having like 8 beats on his like proof mixtape that he did with DJ Cannon Banyan. And that was kind of my introduction. That's how I met Twang Around. It's kind of my introduction to country rap. And that's kind of why I I'm very loyal to Charlie and got a lot of love for him, because I wouldn't be where I'm at without, you know, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. It's always good to, you know, show love to the people that showed love to you along the way.
Absolutely.
So what would be like a dream collab for you, man? Like who would... If you could have anybody you want on this next project, who would it be?
The funny thing about this next project is this next project is totally solo.
Okay.
Not one feature. From that. Not
the,
one feature.
The following project.
You know, like, I'm a huge Jelly fan, so of course Jelly is probably one of the top ones. Everlast.
Ooh.
Big Crit.
Yeah, yeah.
J. Cole.
Yeah, man. See, I don't think Crit gets enough props. When you're talking about, everybody wants to talk about the big three.
Yeah.
Like J. Cole, Kendrick, Drake, or whatever.
Well,
you know, they leave Crit out of that. But,
because Crit's never had that push. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You gotta think, man, like, you know, when it comes down to it, like, it comes down to the money. It all comes down to the money.
Everything.
You know?
Yeah.
So, who are they putting the money behind? You know, so Crit, I mean, Crit was signed to Def Jam. Now he's independent, but he was signed to Def Jam, and they just never, they didn't know what to do with him. They didn't,
right.
You know, if it's a lot like, you know, like quarterbacks in the NFL. If you go to the wrong team,
career ending.
Mm-hmm. Tim Couch.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Tim Couch.
And there's so many factors around you, yeah, you're right, that kind of dictates how high or how you can flourish, you know?
Right.
And, yeah.
So, I mean, it's like, it's really like who's around you. Like, you know, if you're Big Crit,
but that don't mean...
with the very Third Coast Texas sound, and you're going to Def Jam, East Coast, they don't know what to do with you.
Mm-mm. Well, they never knew what to do with UGK. You know?
Yeah.
So it makes sense.
That's why when Pimp got out, he had his own direction. But for somebody like that, that don't mean quit, though, right?
Right, no.
That just means...
No, like hold on. Think about this now. Think about... No, I'm independent. You don't need no label. It's 2024. You do not need a label. Do not sign a label. And I hate seeing like these people, these artists blow up on TikTok and then they go sign the rights away to their song that blew up.
Yeah. And never hear from them again.
And swear to God, they just go, they sign their rights away to a song, to some label that that is only going to tell them, all right, go make more TikToks.
Yeah.
What you going to do anyway?
Right. So it's like, do not sign. Like, you're independent. Yeah. You want to know why I'm making an album with no features and I'm making all the beats? Because 100% it's 100% in my pocket. You know, and the thing is I've done work with a lot of artists and I've done back-end splits like that, you know, and they ain't out there pushing the songs. I'm the one out there that's pushing these songs, and so I was like, you know what? No, this time,
keep it all.
I'm gonna keep it all.
Real in house, yeah.
For real in house, I'm gonna be the one.
It ain't even 80%. It's 100%. Yeah. Right.
That's right. So, yeah.
I'm with it.
I mean, you know, like, you know, if I do a song with you and you share a YouTube link one time, that ain't promotion.
Mm-mm.
That ain't marketing.
No.
You know what I'm saying? And I've had it out with. Me and a few artists, you know, aren't speaking right now because, you know, we were in a business relationship and they weren't.
It is what it is. Like, you got to hold your end of it, you know, and people get salty about it. So,
I mean, if you're getting 50% of the record, you should earn that 50%.
Absolutely.
That's my opinion on it.
50% for sure. So man, you said you're pretty well traveled. I'm just curious, man. Is there any states you haven't been to?
I haven't been to the West Coast.
That's why it's on your bucket
list.
That's
on my bucket list. The West Coast, definitely.
So like you said, you was in Denver though. Is that like a
yeah? I've been to Denver. I've been to Colorado Springs. I've been to Colorado a few times. God, that drive through Kansas is horrible.
Yeah, I bet it is.
Forever.
But
nothing but fields. I've done it.
And fields and windmills.
Yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I've been to Colorado. I mean, I'd like to go to Maine. I was telling her that we should drive to Maine just to eat lobster and vlog it.
I did that in Chicago once.
Yeah.
And just went up there and got some pizza and came back.
We drove to Buffalo just to get some hot wings.
Damn, you went to Canada, basically.
Yeah. Mid-COVID, mid-pandemic.
Everybody stayed home.
Flights were probably cheap back then.
But it's good, though, that you, like, how long y'all been married?
2 years?
You better get it right.
It's good you got it's good you got somebody that you can, like, you're out there doing it with, you know what I mean?
Yeah, she saved my life.
I guess it's kind of time to do a little wrap up here, man. We always do this little rapid fire thing.
Okay.
So we kind of just fire out some questions, and you give us quick answers. The first thing kind of comes to mind.
All right.
you just said something about Buffalo or the Buffalo wings or wings or whatever. Yeah. So I'm gonna start my question off: is it drums or flats?
Drums.
Who's got the best burger in Kentucky?
Jay's.
Where's that at?
It's a food truck in Owensboro.
Okay. How like, because I want to try that. How do I go about finding them?
Jay's Good Grub on Facebook. They'll have.
They just post up in the town.
I think they're on like a food truck finder or something too. I'm not for sure.
Dream car.
I'm going to fuck y'all up with this. Mercedes Sprinter van.
All right.
Why are you a Duke fan?
Why am I a Duke fan? That's a good question.
That's not a rapid part.
I want to know. Okay. I want to know.
So, all right, this is going to be long-winded as fuck. All right, so when Kentucky, I guess, was in their... I wasn't even a fan of really basketball at the time when Kentucky was in their... whatchamacallit, probationary period or whatnot.
Damn, that's been a minute.
Yeah. So I was, I think I was in middle school at the time, and I was at swim practice, and one of the swim parents, you know, they knew I liked Duke, and he was giving me a hard time. And he said, "You know, Kentucky's gonna beat them. Kentucky's gonna beat them." No, they're not. And he goes, I bet you Duke won't beat them by 1 point. And he's like, "I'll bet you $1. You know? I'm like, "Oh, I'll take that bet. They're going to win by way more than 1 point."
So that point guy's
been huh? And then he goes, "No, you don't. Now they have to win by 1 point."
Yeah.
It has to be 1 point. And I was like, no, that ain't fair. Guess what happened?
They won by 1 point.
And I have lost in any, and I do not bet on Duke from this point on, because anytime I've ever made a bet on Duke since, yeah, I've lost.
Well, you know, I was always told, man, one thing my dad did teach me is never bet on Kentucky basketball.
So that's my story about the shot.
You being loyal, you just stayed with them the whole time.
Oh, well, I'm sorry.
What's the next?
Well, that was your question. So, 8 hours on a road trip, one album. What are you listening to?
Riding Dirty.
Man, that was the right answer.
Riding Dirty.
Who's the GOAT of rock and roll? Who's on your Mount Rushmore of rock?
Mount Rushmore of rock.
Not a Mount Rushmore.
That's a weird question, because I don't listen to a ton of rock. But if I have to say, I might get some flack for this, but Axl Rose.
Okay, that's mine.
Axl Rose. Freddie Mercury. Mm. Ozzy. Number four. Who am I
going to
put on number four?
You strike me as like a Joe Walsh Eagles type guy.
It would be more Don Henley than Joe Walsh. Okay. But yeah, I do like the Eagles. I can't go Don Henley. I like Don Henley, and I like Joe Walsh, but I can't go the Eagles. I think I'm leaning Roger Waters.
Okay.
Favorite book.
The one I ain't got to read. I am an audible visual learner.
Okay.
So people have been telling me that I need to, I'm not going to read it, but listen to an audiobook of Rich Dad, Poor Dad.
That's a good one. That's Audible. A very good one. There, you said you're an Audible learner.
Yeah.
Download the app Audible. I'm sure it's on there.
What movie are you watching?
My favorite movie?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Oh, we gotta go there. Talladega Nights.
Ooh. Ricky Bobby.
Or Old School, Frank the Tank.
Yeah. That was Old School. What was the name of it? Yeah. Yeah, it was Old School. Gotcha. Favorite Memphis rapper?
Don Tripp.
Ooh. I'm glad you said that, because when you was talking about lyricists earlier, that he was on my mind.
I would want to go 8-Ball, you know, but I've really been on a Don Tripp kick.
He's dropped like 15 albums every month for the last 15 months. So
yeah, he's like, man, he's a beast. That dude, shout out to his grind.
Yeah.
I only wish to have a grind like Don Tripp.
Yeah.
And not only that, you know what I like about him is there's so much game in his music.
Yeah.
Like, you listen to Don Tripp, you ready to go run through a fucking wall. Mm-hmm. Get that bread. You know what I'm saying?
No, absolutely.
You got a little bit of everything. Motivation, some real life shit, some, you know, shit you're going to go through. Yeah.
His wordplay is unmatched.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Like, it's such a unique style.
You was talking about earlier, like, you didn't want to, like, have to figure shit out when you're right, you know, and that's where I went to with the Tripp thing in my head. It was like, with him, because it'll just slap you in the head, like, oh shit, what did he just say? Like, yeah, six bars later.
He got that, like, it's effortless. Right. You know what I'm saying? Like, you can tell he's probably sitting down just spitting into a mic, you know?
I mean, if you watch his TikToks, it's literally what he's doing. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
So, man, what's next for you aside from the album? Album.
Hopefully get back out on the road. And, you know, continue making content, you know, either with her, you know, doing the Hayden stuff or Franklin Embry stuff, and just continuing to get it and trying to grow and scale the business, you know.
That's it.
I mean, you know, I'm just trying to make more this month than I made last month.
Do what I do now, but do it better, right?
All right. You know what I'm saying?
Well, you got anything left?
No.
You got anything you'd like to add before we go?
Retro comes out Friday, man.
Retro coming out.
Be out April 19th. Retro. Yeah.
So it'll be out by the time we drop this, so we'll run the video.
Don't call me old, bitch, I'm retro. Like my J's.
Hey, man, I appreciate you coming down.
Yes, sir. Chopping
it up with us.
I appreciate y'all, man.
We'll see y'all next time. I'll turn everything off. Hell yeah.
Following conscious, you may know a lot of them. Never think that you got this. Wise words, pay attention to these wise words. And people follow people, but seldom following dreams. They tend to follow dreams, but never know what they mean. These are wise words, pay attention to these wise words.